the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.
You're listening to the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Sulky, an audio drama by Signa Mana.
Sulky. They're a well-known secret. Well-known because clan chiefs, fishermen, seamstresses know that we haunt the seashore in the far north. It's a secret. Because they dare not mention our name. Not anymore. In the late dusk light, you might see the figure of a woman strolling down the beach. But if you came closer, you would think that what you'd seen was only a grey seal, or worse, just another rock. The truth is, we're real. We're there. We're many. You might think that Selkies are only a myth, some old wives' tale, a bedtime story for children. It's not. We're flesh and blood. We breathe the same air. We share the same earth. I'm not telling you this out of kindness. I don't even want you to know of our existence. I'm telling you because there is a story that needs to be told, that deserves to be heard, that demands to be listened to.
I opened the front door. It felt as if the raging wind was going to tear the roots of the cottage out of the ground and let the waves take it. I shut the door again. She needed me. I had to go out. The room filled with a smell of rusty iron and old fish as I unlocked one of the wooden trunks. I traced the handiwork of the fishing nets with my fingers. Everyone living within a 20-mile radius would recognise it as my mother's work. I often wished she hadn't done such a good job. No one ever needed a replacement. The trunk cover fell without a warning. I stared at the ceiling as if it was made of glass and fancied that I could see straight through it. Nothing. That bang hadn't woken her up.
Andrew, are you awake? There are thieves in the house.
Thieves aren't that stupid, Mither. No one wants an old spinning wheel and your washboards are safe as well. The manor house further down the road will be more to their liking.
What are you doing with those nets?
Examining them.
Whatever for?
Go back to sleep, Mother.
I'll have some water now that I'm down. Surely you'll not go fishing.
This afternoon, you told me there's still enough wheat flour to bake bread. You pretended that there's still enough oatmeal, barley and peas to last us months. You even said that there's still enough salted mutton left from that piece the parson gave us 6 weeks ago. But the cupboards are practically bare. So, why shouldn't I go fishing?
You know very well that it's forbidden to fish during this time of year.
Why? Because the parson says so.
Him and some other people.
Those people have cellars full of meat, flour, cake, and even fancy wine from France. Look at yourself, Mother. You're a bag of bones. Don't tell me it's forbidden to look after you.
This isn't about me. It's about those soulless creatures who lurk on the beach. It's very well known that they poison honest, God-fearing people with evil-coloured potions, enchant incantations to damn those who pass by. You would rather be hanged in Edinburgh's grass market amongst common thieves and burglars than be hexed by one of their spells.
If someone told you that our dog was the devil in disguise, you'd kill the poor animal.
Rightly so. No one wants a devil wandering around their house.
You're the dearest person in the world to me, Mother, but you are hopeless.
What about old Neil?
You haven't been listening to him again, have you? We're not going to plant a rowan tree before the door to ward off evil spirits, are we?
Old Neil told me that they toppled over his boat. Those seals, bigger and stronger than they normally are. A vicious kind, which he'd never seen here before, he said. He could even feel the malice in their souls.
How many glasses of whiskey did he have?
He had proof. Those beasts had left bite marks in the wood, and the mast of his boat was broken in two. The parson said he was lucky to be alive. He's buying him a new boat now.
You're telling me that old Neil is getting a new boat because of some tale that he told? I always took him for a fool. Get out of the way. You're blocking the door.
I will not be responsible for the death of my own son. I'm going to the parson.
You're not going to betray your own flesh and blood.
There are creatures out there who claim the cliffs, the beach and the sea when the leaves start to fall from the trees, and they remain there until the first snow drops. I'll betray you to save you from them. You're my boy, my son.
Do you really believe that there are living things out and about in this kind of weather?
If there's anyone out there, I really hope that it's someone who can do some magic. Maybe they can make the crops grow faster or talk some sense into that bloody parson.
Andrew!
The moonlight was just bright enough to lead me to where my boat lay anchored. I paused. Three shadowy figures were sitting in a circle on the beach.
Avon kiss and then we sever. Hey, farewell, alas, forever. Deep in hearts wrung teeth, I'll pledge thee. Roaring sighs and groans.
They don't trust you.
Do they know that you're only half seal?
My husband knows, but not his family. They don't think that it's healthy to spend half your life on land.
None of their concern. Live your life the way you want to. You're a daughter of the waves like them. But you have access to the kingdom of land too. Don't let them constrain you.
I crept closer. Three greyish coats with white dots lay in a heap. They looked very alike, and yet also, in a way, unlike. One of the girls moved forward and took the hand of another.
There's a mark on your lifeline. It means trouble is to come.
The sand crawled underneath my clothes as I crept closer to the spot where the coats lay. I grabbed one of them and almost dropped it, having not expected its touch to be so smooth, slimy, watery and cold.
Oh!
What's he doing?
I don't trust him. He's a land-dwelling man. He's looking at the skins. He's alone. And there's three of us. We can fight him.
Seal folk have defeated humans in the past. We can win.
No. He took mine. Go, quickly, before he takes all of our skins. Only one of us must suffer. Good luck, my sister. Take back what is rightfully yours.
Return safely. Keep your wits and courage about you.
Two of the girls threw their coats into the air. They fell over their bodies and seemed to attach themselves instantly, as though becoming part of them. They ran to the sea and swam away, transforming to seals as the waves covered them.
The sea became wilder. The waves came closer. For a moment, it felt as though they wanted to pull the third girl in with them.
Give me back what's mine.
You remind me of a tale my mother once told me about mermaids. Especially when your long hair dances on the breath of the wind as it does now. If only you could see your green, bluish eyes sparkle in the moonlight and that rosy colour in your cheeks. I want to touch you. May I touch you? I don't mean anything improper. Just a kiss on your hand.
Give me back my skin.
I don't think that it's skin. It's just a coat, isn't it?
I'm not asking you. I'm begging you. Please give me back my skin.
Why was it lying there so carelessly if it's so important for you?
How would you feel if I took your skin? If I stole your whole being? The very reason for your existence? Your whole identity?
You can only take the skin off a dead person. You're alive.
My heart only continues to beat because it doesn't have another choice. But my will to live is gone without my skin.
You wouldn't be talking if you were gone.
My husband is waiting for me.
Is he a fisherman?
He's a seal. Like I am.
Can he become human?
No.
But you can choose, right? But between human and animal.
Only if I have my skin.
Then why would you want to be a seal?
I need the sea. You were shackling me with invisible chains if you take my skin away from me. I may be able to live on land, but my body will pay. I will always be tired, always be hungry, and never feel strong enough.
I don't believe that.
You walk away as though what you've done is nothing, but I have no choice but to follow. You've put my skin in a fishing net and heaved it over your shoulder as though it were just some piece of driftwood you found on the beach.
Only for safekeeping.
What do you want?
I want you.
There are holes in your cape, and your shoes are falling apart. I can give you gold and pearls. I can give you a title. I can ensure that you're worshipped like a king wherever you go. You'll never suffer again. All you have to do is give me back my skin.
What do you take me for? There's more to life than wealth and status. You're the only thing I have ever really wanted in my life. I want you.
That's the only thing I cannot give you.
What's your name?
Give me back my skin and I'll tell you.
I was in love with a girl called Aileen once. She married. But you can be Aileen. It suits you. This is my home. Don't be shy. Come in.
Andrew? Back already? Oh, I've been worried sick. Wait, what? Who's that?
I found her on the beach.
Oh, poor child. Don't tell me you got lost at this hour. And that with all the strange things happening of late. Oh, you must have been so scared. Quickly, come through.
I'm not...
But what are you wearing? It's a miracle that you've not turned into a block of ice. I'll get you a blanket. How come you were lost on the beach?
She's not lost. She's to be my wife.
Your wife?
I'll visit the parson first thing in the morning. I want the wedding to take place as soon as possible.
No, this is not possible. You're already engaged.
That engagement is off.
How dare you? How long have you two been scheming behind my back?
You're mistaken, madam. I don't know who your son is. I only know that he stole from me and that he won't give back what's mine.
It's just an old coat, mother. We'll find her another.
A coat? For goodness sake, why would you steal a coat?
It's my skin. I'm a Selkie.
You go out fishing while it's forbidden, and you come back with a seal? You know very well that they're the souls of drowned people. They're evil.
Don't call my wife to be a seal.
Listen, dear. My son might be a handsome man, and many women would like to have him. Of that, I'm quite sure. But he's already promised to a farm girl, and such a promise cannot be broken.
My engagement with Ailey is off.
All I want is my skin.
You don't want my son, do you?
If I am forced to live forever on land, then I would rather take the veil than marry your son.
There, you heard it, Andrew. She would rather be a bride of God than marry you. Even a witch can't have two husbands.
Don't call her a witch either. I will marry Aileen, and you will respect that.
You want a wife who will never kiss you on the forehead, who will never stroke your hair or hold your hand? You want to be loved by someone who will never whisper, "I adore you," into your ear, who will always put you last? Do you think she'll give you more than a cursory peck on the lips in the morning? Is that what you really want?
She doesn't know me yet. She will love me once she does.
The wedding took place 3 days later. Aileen wore a red, blue tartan dress, which my mother had sewn. Our hands were bound with a white lace ribbon, never to be parted.
Never seen a bride cry that much.
That's because she's happy. She told me that she cries when she's happy.
Why are you dragging that pine chest with you all the time? You never part from it.
It's where I keep her coat. I wish I could give you something more than this small cottage, and I promise you that I will. Just remember that we can be happy whilst being poor.
How often do I have to tell you that I will never be happy in your...
You're right. I'll look for some extra work. Mother, can you repair this?
How did you get a hole in your shirt?
Silly accident.
Who will cook?
My wife will, won't you, Aileen? I'll chop some wood in the meantime.
You must knead the flour with the top of your palms, not the top of your fingers.
I've never baked bread before, and I've never touched a cooking pan either.
And I've never heard of a witch who can't cook before. Brewing potions to poison honest, God-fearing people is what your kind does best.
And I don't understand how you can even eat this mushy, gruely stuff.
Well, obviously it's inedible, but that's only because you're doing it all wrong. What do you eat?
Squid. Crayfish. Octopus. Krill. Salmon. Woodlice. Herring.
I've always thought that witches had frogs and toads. Can't you get any of those? Oh, but Andrew, your wife wants some raw herring.
Stop calling my wife a witch.
I can't call her a seal. I can't call her a witch. And she won't tell me her name. What am I supposed to call her?
Like I've told you 100 times before, her name is Aileen.
Well, you better get her to eat something soon. Or you'll have to carve, "Here rest my loving wife Aileen," in a gravestone before long. She hasn't had a single morsel since she set foot through this door.
There's plenty of food. The neighbours were very generous when they heard of our marriage. We have all sorts of different stews, and we even have roast beef.
That's human food, Andrew. She's not human.
Thank you.
9 months later, our first son was born. We called him William, after my father. May he rest in peace. He was born with webbed fingers. I often joked that he had flippers. I often took Aileen out for an evening walk on the beach. The sea seemed calm and the sun coloured the sky red.
Do you see that cave over there?
It's said that a sorcerer lives there.
I would like to sail to that cave.
It's said that if you enter the cave without the sorcerer's permission, the cave will collapse and you will die a slow death crushed underneath all of the rubble.
It's where my husband waits.
Don't be silly. I didn't live in a cave.
When will you go fishing again?
The ban is lifted next month.
Can I come? Your mother can take care of William, and I'm always getting in her way.
What kind of a husband would I be if I made you do the men's work? You wouldn't even like it. Fishermen always stink of fish, and the rope cuts their hands until they bleed. Don't even get me started on the seals and whales that chase us all of the time. William got a little sister 1 year later. We called her Frances. My mother fainted when she saw our little girl. Her hands were just like her brother's, but she also had scaly patches of grey skin all over her body.
Oh!
What's all that noise? Mother, why are you crying?
She burnt her hand on the stove.
How could she be so clumsy? It's very unlike her. Let me see how bad it is.
It's very red. She'll definitely get blisters. Get me some cold water.
I'll get the doctor.
Oh, there's no need to disturb that money-grabbing fool. He'll just send me to the apothecary.
What do you need? I'll get it for you.
That's not going to work.
The apothecary will want to see the burn. He won't know what kind of ointment to give her otherwise.
Very well. But you're coming too.
You know how William and Frances always fight. By the time we're back, one of them will have killed the other.
Oh, the witch is right. You cannot leave the children unattended. Leave the chest here. It will only slow us down.
If I leave it here...
She doesn't have the key.
You don't need a key to break it open.
I can hear your whispers. I wouldn't dream of leaving you without explaining why.
You heard her. She'll still be here when we get back.
Are you sure you'll be all right?
Quite sure.
The apothecary gave my mother an ointment. He claimed that it would heal any wound in 2 days' time. While we walked back to the cottage, she smiled.
It's already working. It's healing me. Oh, remarkable.
Where is she? Aileen! Where are you? Aileen!
Well, how am I supposed to know? Quite remarkable. My hand doesn't hurt at all now.
Where is she? Aileen! Aileen! Aileen!
Oh, look how peacefully the children are sleeping. At least they've been behaving.
God, she did it. She smashed the wood of the chest with an axe. Oh, Mother, why did you let me leave without taking her coat?
She left a letter.
Give it to me.
Dear Andrew, don't worry about the bairns. I gave them a sleeping draught so they wouldn't hurt themselves while there's no one with them. They should wake up soon. You always dragged that wooden chest with my skin in it with you. Even though it was locked, and you alone had the key. You were still afraid that I was going to disappear. That single act tells me that you always knew that we were never meant to be. I don't belong on land, and you don't belong in the sea. Don't blame your mother. She gave both of us a new chance. I wish you well, Andrew.
I would have died for her.
She wasn't worth dying for. She wouldn't have sacrificed a single hair on that pretty head of hers to save your life.
Only death can part us. That's what we swore before God. You were there, Mother. You know.
You must have someone around you who will love you for you, Andrew. Ailey has always been a sweet girl. And
I'm already married.
You must think of yourself as widowed.
A wife cannot run away from her husband. It's against the law.
She is dead.
She's alive.
Not to you.
All of this is your fault. You helped her. You let her go. You burnt your hand on purpose just so she could run off.
She would have escaped with or without my help.
She didn't escape. Or do you really believe that she was a princess held captive in an impenetrable fortress?
You were holding her prisoner and she escaped.
I wasn't her jailer. But you were. You tormented her. You called her a witch and always criticised her. She couldn't bear to be around you anymore and you forced her to run away. That's what happened.
No mother wants to say these words to her child, and I'll never repeat them. But you, Andrew, you were evil. You forced that girl to live here, to marry you, to...
We were in love.
You were in love, Andrew.
No wife can run away unpunished.
Grieve for her tonight. Banish her from your mind and start afresh tomorrow.
How will I tell the bairns that their mother was so selfish? How will I tell them that she wouldn't have them? How will I tell them that she left them for a seal?
Ailey will be a good mother. She goes to church every Sunday. You used to give her primroses and daffodils whenever you saw her. God, you were even engaged, remember?
Aileen had no reason to leave me.
Andrew, son, where are you going with that pike? What do you need that rope for?
I'm getting my wife back.
Two seals were bathing before the entrance to the cave. They plunged into the water as I approached. I looked behind me and saw their heads poking out of the water a couple of yards away. I lit my oil lamp as I entered the cave. Drops of water dripped from the mossy rocks. A grey seal was sleeping on a large stone. I threw my net into the air and it fell on the beast. It woke, raised its head, and its dark, shiny eyes looked straight into mine. Was begging me to not do what I was about to do. Pushed my pike through its fat, oval body. I turned the pike around and felt relieved as I heard the seal's innards move to places they didn't belong. Pulled the beast inside my boat. Didn't stop trembling as we floated out of the cave, but once we were back under the clear blue sky, its body lay quite still.
Killed her. You killed your own wife.
Shouldn't I think of myself as widowed? Wasn't that what you said?
Look what you've done. Did I tell you to kill her? You shouldn't have killed her.
She wasn't happy here because of you. And I'll never be happy if
so
I cannot have her.
So you decided that she ought to die?
Do you think I'm mad? Do you really think I'm that mad?
There's a lifeless seal bleeding on my carpet.
It's not Aileen.
So you're just going to kill seals? Will that be your revenge? The last time someone from this area killed a seal, they were...
Was centuries ago. Stop repeating what the parson says. It's high time that you learn to have a mind of your own.
What will you do now?
Sell the skin, eat the meat.
I would rather spend the remaining years of my life working for the BNI than eat seal meat.
There's no such thing as a washerwoman who washes the clothes of those who are about to die. And you can starve as far as I'm concerned. So much noise in the middle of the night.
The door had been knocked off its hinges. A slim figure wearing a long black cape walked in. She took off her hood. It smelled of seaweed. Her face was nearly invisible because of the darkness.
Please, leave my son be.
Mother, what are you doing downstairs and who's that?
Don't you recognise me? Andrew?
Aileen, you came back!
Your runaway wife has returned.
You're not my Aileen. Your hair is dishevelled. Your eyes are threatening. Your cheeks are pale.
You made me so. My true friend waited for my return in that sea cave for years. You murdered my only love and my first husband. You butchered the only living being that was dear to me and hauled him to your cottage as if he was a slaughtered swine.
Whatever he did it out of love for you.
I killed that seal so you would return and be my wife again. The church decrees eternal damnation if you run away from your husband. I saved your soul.
I chose not to punish you for the years that you kept my skin locked up in a chest. But I will punish you for butchering my husband.
You're not alone. We're still married and I'm still your husband.
Don't do it. You don't have to do it. We'll do anything to make up for the loss of your husband. I'll do anything that you wish me to, but please do not destroy the life of my son.
You cannot give me back my husband.
You can hex me as much as you like. It'll be to no avail. My belief in God is stronger than your heathen ways.
You shall be forever at war with the sea. Sea sprites will haunt you. Kelpies will lure you into the water and feast on your flesh. And if you will not be lured, the blue men of the Minch will create a storm so powerful that even you will not be able to flee. The waves will take you just as cruelly as the executioner's axe.
I can't believe how stupid I've been. I never should have married a lass who still believes in fairy tales, who believes that curses actually work, who believes she can command the waves and creatures of lore.
Your body shall never be recovered. You'll never get a burial. And you'll be forgotten.
Undo your curse, witch.
Forever.
He knows what he did was wrong.
Aileen isn't a witch. She's not my wife anymore either.
I'll watch your suffering with great pleasure from afar. Every magical creature in this world will sing for the life that you took. But you will be forgotten.
My mother barricaded the door with the little furniture that they had. She forbade me to go outside. Sea spirits came knocking at the door, and kelpies tempted me to go outside with promises of freedom and plenty, but I resisted all. Then the storm came. The wind reached inside, and a hand existing out of a cloudy substance took me and carried me towards the sea. A wave pulled me into the foamy water. Hundreds of water elves surrounded me. They clapped in their hands as water filled my lungs. I could see my mother standing on the shore, holding the hands of two crying bairns. Everything went black. I knew what was going to happen. I knew. was going to sink to the bottom of the sea and remain there. Forever.
Now feel my curve. Sinking to the bottom of the ocean. Your body, heavy as a stone, sinking, sinking. You called me a witch. Now taste. Sinking to the bottom of the ocean. You called me a witch.
Selkie was written by Signa Mana and was adapted from her original short story of the same name. In Selkie, you heard the voices of Sophie McNair as Eileen, Louis Watson as Andrew, Simone Lowe as Mother. Kelsey Griffin and Stevie Skinner played the other Selkies. Music was performed by John Spires, based on the traditional tune, The Great Selkie of Soul Skerry, a folk tune from Orkney. Additional music and soundscapes were written by Chris Gregory. Sound effects were from freesound.org. The presenter in this edition of the podcast is me, Kelly Winkler. If you've enjoyed Selkie, please give our Selkie Preview edition a listen. We have interviews with Signa Mana, Sophie McNair, and John Spires, and some background on the folklore behind the story and the making of our audio drama productions. Coming up on Alternative Stories and Fake Realities, we have dark Scandinavian drama from Caitlin Felix in The Seeing Trees, more poetry from Cornwall with Ella Frears, Leslie Hale, and Angela Stoner, and a special creator's edition on sound design and music for audio drama with guests Hedley Knights, John Bartman, and Daniel French. If you've not listened to Alternative Stories before, we are an anthology literary podcast producing audio drama, poetry, and short fiction. Please subscribe using your favorite podcast app to listen to our previous content and our future editions the moment they are released. We always appreciate reviews and ratings, especially in Apple Podcasts. So if you have enjoyed our show and have a moment, please take some time to tell us what you think. You can also do this via email at office@alternativestories.com. Thank you, as always, for listening to Alternative Stories and Fake Realities.
The Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.